Do you remember when the Carnies take over Homer's house? There's an episode where they befriend Carnies, and then the Carnies somehow get them out of the house. And then they bar the doors, and they can't get back in the house, and they're sitting in there. And Homer peeks in, and he looks at the couch, and the guy's sitting there. He's like, oh no, he's ruining my butt crease. And they're like, what? He's like, I've made that butt crease in that couch cushion for years. And then at the end of the episode, they finally get him out, and he gets in there. He's like, put a pot of coffee on Marge. I'm going to be here a long time. And he's sitting there just like working his butt, trying to get that butt crease back into the couch. Is that what you needed? You needed your butt crease in your chair today?
I do. Well, I actually have an old couch. I have a couch that's older than I am. Okay. No joke. My it was like grandmother's couch.
Paisley's? Okay. Is it Paisley?
No, I don't know what it is. It's like, it's an old, like, almost yarn kind of fabric. Like, I don't know. Oh, okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it's, almost like it's older than I am. I was born after my grandmother had this couch, and then my grandmother finally wanted to get rid of it. She's like, hey, you want this couch?
Oh, man, these couches are the best.
Awesome! It's the most comfortable couch ever. I love it.
The first house that I lived in, I lived with a bunch of friends, and we had this old yellow couch with, like, a wooden frame. Mm-hmm. So the arms were wood. The couch itself was yellow. Okay. It was the longest thing I've ever seen. It was crazy. You can't get a couch like that anymore.
Nope.
But you could literally lay down on the couch and like neither your head nor your foot would actually touch.
That's my dream. The arm. Couch. That's my dream.
Yeah,
couch.
Yeah, there was like an extra cushion.
Jeez, that's awesome.
It was great.
I have pictures of my childhood on this couch that is absolutely the most disgusting yellow and orange. Mm-hmm. Like, yellow and orange. Who thought and orange would be great?
In the 70s.
It was such the 70s couches. They're disgusting. And I'm like, This almost destroyed us as a civilization, these couches. And then 80s music almost destroyed us as a civilization.
Hey, I like 80s music.
I like 80s music too, but Spencer's, let's be honest.
No,
that was questionable.
80s rock Spencer's not was on the best 80s anymore. Rock ever made. Well,
okay,
late 70s,
rock,
early 80s.
80s rock, but that synth pop.
Yeah, well, that was weird so stuff. Awesome. That almost ruined about. Us. No. That made us stronger. No.
Made us stronger because it was so terrible.
What doesn't kill you only makes you stronger,
yeah,
right?
It almost killed us.
No, I love 80s synth pop.
It's a love hate relationship because I grew up with it, so it's like,
oh man,
it's like got memories attached to that. But
give me some Kate Bush.
Take on me, la la la. Yeah. Oh man.
We're gonna cut that note out.
Whoever can hit that G or that double high G or whatever that thing. That was one crazy.
Well, it's not only hitting; it's holding it for as long as they did. That's
oh my gosh! I know, right?
I'm telling you.
That music video was awesome, by the way. Like, it was. You remember that video?
It's been a long time.
Oh, it's just a really cool music video where he like goes through a drawing or something like that. Someone's doodling, and then all of a sudden it comes live, and so it's this animation.
It's even lamer than that.
Live. Like, it was actually
it's this
really
girl
cool
like
time.
Reading a comic book.
Oh, that's right.
Sunday comics or something. And the guy from AHA, the lead singer, whatever, whoever he is.
Pulls her in.
Pulls her in, and then they run from some cops, and then they break out, and he's, like, lying on the ground and, like, looks up at her, and the video's over. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
30-year-old spoiler alert. Well, like, technology-wise and, like, the effects, it's actually really beautiful.
It is actually awesome.
It makes no sense whatsoever. You're like, what is going on?
Well, but his amazing things they were able to pull off was just limited technology.
Oh, too.
Now you look at these things and it's like, meh. The ones that the videos I really like, you've seen OK Go's music videos?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. I love their videos.
Scripted. It's very scripted.
Oh,
very,
but it's so intricate and interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's very well done.
Like, that kind of stuff, I think, takes way more work than, like, say, a CG thing.
Jack Johnson did one where the entire music video it was played in reverse, and so he had to learn how to sing his lyrics.
Oh, man.
But like, mouth them. I mean, you can tell he mouths them, but he has to mouth them backwards so that his mouth syncs with it, so it looks like, and it's very well done, and then there's, like, water getting dumped on his face, and it's pulling away from his head.
You've got to listen to Jack Johnson. So.
You cut me deep, bro. Oh, yeah, well, cut me deep.
That's Spencer's favorite song.
What goes around.
It kind of is.
you,
well done,
you,
sir.
Yeah,
well
you
done.
Dropped it on the entire 80s
oh, <man. laughs>
in one shot.
Division.
what was the one Everybody Wants to Rule the World?
Tears for Fears?
Tears for Fear.
I love that song.
I totally love it. And like, Real Genius, that was such a good song to put with Real Genius. Anyone? Val Kilmer?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Val Kilmer? They use a government laser.
Yeah, it's like some death ray laser.
they hack into a military airplane so that they point this laser instead of at the desired target to someone's house so that it pops a big bag of popcorn that explodes and fills the entire mansion. Not a house, a mansion full of popcorn. Oh,
that's awesome.
That's so good. And then it ends with Everybody Wants to Rule the World, which is an excellent song. Yeah, I told you, it's a love-hate relationship. Like, you realize how terrible it is, but you got so many memories because you grew up with that music. So.
Oh, man.
You got
that's pretty awesome.
Anyways. Right. Welcome to Confessions of a Game Dev Podcast.
Want to try that again?
No.
So close.
Welcome
so
to close. Confessions of a Game Dev Podcast.
Yay. Hello. Someone can say it. This is Spencer Buchanan.
Trent Baird.
Brandon Karate.
We're all hanging
and
out today in Bob's Memorial Fart Booth. Hopefully keeping it stink-free
well, one
for
of these
a couple
times,
hours.
He's actually going to listen to one of these and hear that.
Oh, no, I've already told him about it. And he's like, very much of a Bob, like, just shakes his head and he's it's like, I'm old and curmudgeon-y, and that's what's going to get me.
Kids these days.
Young whippersnappers, but with your iPods and your TVs.
Your GPMs and your DVDs.
DVDs.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So today we've got some interesting
some good
things
stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do. There's some really fun things that happened this week, at least personally and in the industry and professionally.
Crazy. You want to lead it off?
Can you really say fun?
Yeah.
Well, definitely exciting. Sad things. There were sad things that happened.
Well, name a sad thing.
THQ.
THQ. Oh, that's right. That did happen.
But
this week.
Oh, well, and even I mean, there was two bankruptcies this week. There was THQ, and there was. Atari.
Atari.
But did you hear about it?
No.
How'd you not hear about this?
So
this was a good bankruptcy.
I like to keep myself. I don't know. So I found out something about myself. I get really obsessive about things.
Mm.
So things will suck me in and not let me go, like Facebook or Twitter, and I'll avoid doing other things that I'd rather be doing, like reading books and playing video games, in order to, like, check my Twitter or check out Facebook. And so, anyway, I've kind of distanced myself a little bit from social media just because it's this giant morass of...
Trent has decided to avoid news. He doesn't like to keep current with things, so...
Oh, yeah, I do that as well.
That's not any better than people that watch Fox News, but...
Whoa!
Yeah, I went
there. Goes those listeners. There's more listeners each week.
They just keep dropping.
We need to filter Spencer's comments.
I think we need to get listeners before we can leave them. I mean...
That's what makes it so charming.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, thanks for listening again.
She's probably
one download. Awesome. as she's turning down Fox News to listen to you.
Now, if I mention Glenn Beck, there goes my mom. So, well, he has been off the air. So, anyways,
okay.
Well,
so
okay,
let's talk Atari real fast.
So Atari, they declared bankruptcy. Chapter 11, good old classic type
but
of bankruptcy.
It was it's a good thing because they're trying to separate themselves from the Atari of. The other Atari.
Atari SP or FP?
Yeah, their parent company. Atari is owned by another company, I believe, in Europe.
France.
Okay. In France. And so they declared bankruptcy to position themselves in a place where they can separate from their parent company, also named Atari.
Yeah, I was reading an article that talked about the history of Atari and how many times it's been purchased, and it's the company crazy. That purchased it got purchased, and so there's this company, and I can't remember what the name of it was, but a couple years ago they changed their name to Atari with a SP at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And so
Atarisp.
Atari, well, it was like Atari, capital S.
It sounds like a weird European like snack.
Yeah.
Right?
It's Atari.
Atarisp.
Uh-huh.
Atarisp.
Atarisp.
Wow. At a risk.
Thanks. So anyways, the
haters.
What I thought when I read a couple articles, they said the reason that they're doing this is one to pull away, but with the intent to be able to explore options of downloadable games and downloadable content.
Mm-hmm.
And or mobile games and downloadable content. And I thought, wow, I wonder, I'm wondering if that statement is made because their parent company didn't want them to explore those avenues. And which is quite foolish in this, in the market at the time. But,
yeah, the seems like the only market there is.
I know.
Well,
right?
No, I take that back.
It feels like it sometimes.
That's the growing market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's still a market for like regular.
Sure.
Yeah, but when's
AAA titles?
Well, the market's changing.
When's the last Atari AAA title you've seen?
Ghostbusters. No, there's one more, but Ghostbusters is the one I remember every time.
Oh, okay.
That was a few years ago.
But did you guys, Atari did a Pong competition the last 6-8 months? Mm-hmm. That they did a contest that everyone was challenged to re-envision Pong, and whoever wins gets like $140,000 and their game published under Atari title.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was intentionally made for mobile devices, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think that was the intended market. And so they went down and they got down to like 6, and they were like all so good that they published all of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I don't know, I can't remember which of the winner was, but they're all just reimagining the Pong idea. And some of them, I don't know, some I wasn't like super impressed with, but I could see all of these being very viable,
right,
you know, sources. And it definitely felt like a hobby project for the company as opposed to this is something that we're doing to reinvent ourselves, you know. And I'm wondering if it was like that was about as much rope as they were given from parent company. I mean, totally speculation, but that's how much rope they were given. Is this is what we want to do with the mobile space? They were trying to prove to them that they could do it.
Right.
It was reasonably successful. Oh, Pitfall.
Yes.
Atari did Pitfall for a mobile device, and it's a Temple Run-esque runner.
So,
it's actually. I thought it's pretty neat. I thought it's a good spin on
so. Yeah, I was reading. I actually was looking at Twitter today because Spencer told me to, and I saw. Was it Michael Pachter? I think it was Michael Pachter.
Totally.
Who? I love that guy. He was talking about how he was talking to his kids about Temple Run 2, and they were like, "Nah, Temple Run 2, like that's." That's old stuff. I really like this new game called Pitfall.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's pretty
awesome. Did you ever see that Onion article? There was one, the headline, which, you know, the joke is always in the headline. It was something to the extent of kid plays game for 24 hours, realizes it's just an old 80s 8-bit crappy game.
It's not an indie game at all.
Yeah, he thought it was an indie game, and he was sorely disappointed. He's like, I thought it was hard ironically, but it turned out it was just a really crappy 80s game that was extremely difficult.
Well, but isn't it so interesting that like we pine so much for nostalgia, but we pine for these old games, mm-hmm. that we make these new ones that look and feel and act just like the old ones. It's like, why don't I just play an old one?
Yeah.
I can pull my old NES and just like, you know, throw Kung Fu in there.
Well, and I have a love-hate relationship with the word nostalgia because it can be taken very negatively and is like, we're just not giving up and we're not growing, but it's interesting that we've pushed ourselves, at least artistically, to a point where it's like, can you get more realistic than this? Probably not.
Yeah.
Right.
Why try, you know, the cost of diminishing returns where it's like, you can make it more realistic, but you're going to be spending twice as much. And at that point, you've already spent $200 million. What's the point?
So I think of Team Fortress 2 as kind of a turning point. You know, that was where we had gotten to the point where although let's talk about some of those hats, because I tell you what.
No, let's not.
Best $3 ever. Love this hat that Mike.
Oh, speaking of, I picked up a couple skins this week.
Woohoo!
Hey,
yeah, Crimson Elite Riven and Soul Reaver Draven.
All right, that's it for the League of Legends podcast. We're moving on to Team Fortress podcast.
No, 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 because we were talking about hats.
That's legit.
It's like a hat.
All right, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, anyway.
So what's the Team Fortress turning point?
When that game came out, because it was right when, you know, Modern Warfare was just coming out, we'd gotten to a point where we were realistic enough.
Yeah.
And realism was really weird. Like, there was the Uncanny Valley and pretty much everything
was falling in it.
Yeah, I mean, you play GTA 4 and you're running around and you're like, well, these people look really weird. But with Team Fortress 2, they took it and they exaggerated everything. And so you could take yourself out of it. You know, you weren't looking for realistic people. The people were realistic because they were so unrealistic. You know, it's like watching a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, you can relate with that character even though it's not anything like you at all. And so that was kind of the turning point for me where I started noticing more and more how things were getting more exaggerated and more unrealistic.
Yeah.
Realism, like I said, it is a diminishing return. And like aesthetics really change how you perceive a game. You watch something like Borderlands. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know, it's all cel-shaded. It's got a very unique art style. It still looks good.
Mm-hmm.
However many years ago it was really, like 4 or 5 years ago it was released, and it still looks great. The first one.
Yeah.
Wind Waker still looks really good, you know?
They're re-releasing it for the Wii U, and I'm like, why? Is that upgraded graphics? No, it isn't. It looks pretty good.
But like, that's what I think is like, when it comes to art styles and stuff, these kind of aesthetic choices, we went through this stage where everything had to be real. But now, like besides Borderlands, but more and more games are starting to go, you know what, let's make this interesting. Let's make this cool and different. And like Team Fortress is great because, you know, originally it was going to be realistic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same as Borderlands, actually.
Well, I saw a Game Informer article where it was realistic and I wanted to play that game so bad.
Yeah.
And then I saw another article about the new Borderlands or original Borderlands, and I was like, oh, I want to play that game too.
Yeah.
It's the same game, but different. Anyway. Well, and hilarious.
All we're doing is we're communicating information, right? We're communicating story, ideas, concepts, things, ways to view and look at things. And the more realistic you get, the more complicated, because I remember studying this a long time ago in drawing or in sculpture with faces, and there's just so many things so many different emotions and feelings that can be communicated based on little tweaks of the face that trying to implement all of those is giving you mixed messages to the audience, right?
Sure.
And so if you give a static mask like Jack on Borderlands 2, I mean, it's a static mask. You know, okay, this guy's vapid. You know all these different things about him. You know he's so into his looks that he's got hinges on this mask that he's put on his face. You go, okay, he's vapid. Okay, he only wants to portray one style of person. He's, you know, and then you start hearing him talking like, okay, he's very egotistical. He thinks he's the hero. Like, I think that's a really neat twist that he very explicitly thinks he's the hero, and you know it. And that's all I need to know. Like, I've given you enough information for you to know that this guy, who this bad guy is, how he functions in this world. And all of a sudden, if you find out that he's got a daughter he actually has a daughter. Spoiler alert, has a daughter
Whoa.
In the game.
Our listeners just know it's a spoiler cast.
Yeah. Welcome to Spoiler Cast episode 42. No, but it's like, if he's got some thing that makes him human, all of a sudden you're like, wait, maybe I should root for him. I don't know. And it ruins things because of this realism. We have to give him his whole backstory. No! He's a bad guy. He's got a diamond encrusted butt stallion. You know, I mean,
it's
a diamond butt stallion.
But I think you're valid. Like, I think you're in the right ballpark. It's just a matter of the art style allows the message to be transmitted to the player in a way that doesn't block it off. It's like, oh, that looks weird. So therefore, I can't listen to what he's saying. I'm too worried about what his face is. That was my problem with L.A. Noir.
I was hoping we'd mention that
because
that's totally.
Like, oh yeah, look at this facial stuff. It's so realistic. The whole game is focused on, I need to pay attention to their stupid face, but I don't know what's going on half the time because I'm like, well, is he lying? I don't know. I mean, watch his face. Let me watch it twitch. I'm like, no.
Was that key to game mechanics?
That was the whole point.
You had to stare at him to go, oh, he's lying because his eye twitched?
Yep, his eye twitched.
I would hate that game.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I know about it, and I know everyone's like, oh, look at that, so realistic.
The only way to play that game that I could enjoy it, I went and got a guide that had all the answers. And then I could pay attention to the actual game. I go, like, oh, this is interesting. It's enjoyable. I'm having a good time. Because if you get one or two wrong, you just fail it.
And you have to start
the entire mission over again to do it again.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's awful. Wow. And so it's like, play it with a guide. It just gives you all the answers, and you'll love it.
Interesting.
It's very interesting.
Well, and that's kind of disappointing, too. But,
wow.
No, and I've seen other developers, and like, no, it has to be true to what this is. It has to be realistic. And it's like, well, you know, I know there's a Kickstarter right now for some famous guy that did... Jeff has mentioned, I mean, he's very much on this. He's very much against this idea of anti-realism. Like, he's very much for realism. And this guy is promoting this spaceship game that's going to, like, push, like, 8 bajillion polys on your screen. Yeah. It's only going to be for computers.
This guy who did...
And it's this new space MMO.
Is that FTL one?
No, I think it's the guy who did Wing Commander.
He's the designer behind Wing Commander. Now he's got this new thing, and it's going to be so absolutely realistic, and it's going to be such high fidelity on every image and every model you see. And it's like there's a following for that. And Jeff, one of our friends, Jeff, he's definitely for that. And it's like that's fine. And he asked for over like $200 million, and he got it. You know, but
I think it was $200,000.
Well,
$200 million is a lot of money.
I'm sorry, $2 million.
I was going to say.
So his Kickstarter was like $500,000, and then on his website he was asking for even more, and he hit both goals off and on of the crowdfunding site. It's really amazing. So there's people for that, but the general populace doesn't have the time to invest in something.
Such a small market.
It is. And I agree.
It is, like, when you play like Legend of Zelda, the original one, you know,
is that
less immersive because it's in pixels? You know, are you suddenly like, oh, I just can't get into this game because he's just not realistic?
Yeah.
You're like, no, because the game is designed to play a different way. The game is designed to play, you know, I loved that game growing up. I loved Super Mario Brothers. I loved all those. And I love the games I play now. I played Mass Effect recently. Mm-hmm. Okay. The fact that it wasn't like perfectly realistic didn't kill me. I was just like, oh, that's fine. Okay.
Well, I was playing, I think it was Borderlands, and I was just like, oh my gosh, there's things in here that should not happen in physics, you know, according to physics, according to just things in real life.
Most of the game.
But almost every game, if you tried to be Captain Cynical, you'd be like, ugh, that so wouldn't happen in real life. Yeah. And it's like, you suspend your belief. Is it suspend the belief?
Yeah. Suspension of disbelief.
Suspend disbelief for that moment because you're like, yeah, it's not right. It doesn't feel right according to realism, but man, that was really fun. I'm going to go do that.
Yeah.
You know,
do we want to make it real or do we want to make it awesome?
Yeah, and so there's that suspension of disbelief.
Awesome.
Let's compare Ghostbusters to Matrix 2 or 3. Matrix 1 is pretty awesome, okay? Don't get me wrong.
You're talking movies.
I'm talking the movies. These two movies. I saw Ghostbusters 2 versus Matrix 2.
Mm.
Okay. Ghostbusters 2, the graphics aren't great, okay? The little special effects and all this stuff. The technology wasn't there.
No.
Okay? The story?
I like the story.
Are you kidding me?
You don't like Ghostbusters 2?
Oh, what?
Okay, I love Ghostbusters 2, but...
Yeah. Okay. It's silly. Don't get me wrong.
It's silly, okay? But the movie itself is
strong. The characters are interesting. The characters are engaging. Everything, you're engaged in this story.
Yeah.
Whereas Matrix 2, we decided to push the envelope on these special effects as far as we possibly could. It served nothing.
Because
the sword, and the games are the same way because the game is what's fun. Okay. This gets into ludology versus narratology, you know, things like that. But for the purpose of it, the graphics don't, there's no graphicology. You know, versus ludology. Because it's not that interesting. Like, graphics are a marketing point. They're not necessarily a... Like, graphics don't make a game.
No, you're right. But there is graphicsology. I mean, if you look at Final Fantasy 13...
Okay.
Sure. I went there. There's no story. I mean, there kind of is. There's no game, I should say.
There you go.
There's no game. It's all story.
Yeah.
Isn't it just enter a room...
And it's got awesome graphics.
Walk to the other side of the room... enter another room, walk to the other side. I think that's that's how I best describe it.
Well, sometimes you can run around in the same room. In fact, I found a really great place to grind, where you just run around in this huge circle.
Oh, nice.
And that's when that's when I quit playing. Because I was like,
I just realized what you were doing.
I could beat this game. Yeah. I could beat the actual game. It had some interesting things. There were some fun parts, but it was just this linear, very, very linear path. And that was what they designed it to be.
Yeah.
And I hear they've corrected some of those changed some of those aspects for the next two.
Yeah.
Speaking of art, okay. This leads in. I'm going to segue into Infinity.
Oh, nice.
Oh, snap. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So wait, what are we?
Segue into Disney's Infinity, which just got announced this last week, okay? Or it might have been a couple of days off.
Yeah, it was recent.
It was just recently. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but Infinity doesn't look like any of their properties, okay?
No, it doesn't, does it?
You know?
What does it look like?
It's very blocky. It's almost got a, like, Minecraft-y.
It's kind of Lego, cartoon. But...
You know,
not
it's got a unique art style all its own, okay? But it doesn't, like, you know, no one's going to say, see, Captain Jack doesn't look realistic, therefore, sorry, that's not Captain Jack.
Yeah.
But they took the key elements that make Captain Jack Captain Jack, put it into this style, and you go, totally Captain Jack.
That's Captain Jack.
Right? Sure. Whether it's his animation, the way he swaggers, or the fact that he's got the dreadlock.
I mean, we've seen that with the Lego games.
Yes. Totally. Exactly. You know?
Legos are really successful in blocks. I mean, they're... So Ed Freese, I got to talk with this guy last summer. He worked on the Xbox 360. He was like one of the head guys at Microsoft Game Studios for years and years, quit in like 2004. After 2004, he kind of just dinked around, and he had originally created Atari games. Like that was when he started in the industry. And he went.
See that segue?
Atari.
Bringing it all around, full
Sega.
Circle.
Atari.
That was good.
So, one of the things that he did was a game called Halo 2600.
And
he put everything about Halo in an Atari game, an Atari cartridge that's like, what is that, like 2KB or something?
I don't know, it's
like
less? Nothing.
I don't know.
I thought it was 1.4, but
yeah, it was like,
I could be wrong.
Not really as much as the Halo game franchise, right?
Yeah, a few less.
And he's very much of a programmer, and, so not directly related, but I think the point is there that he found these beautiful snippets of code because he's like, how do I solve this problem with what I'm limited with? Because, I mean, how do you limit yourself even more with everything? And so he's just like, he found this beauty in the code that he was making. And that could extend to the amount of pixels that he was working with. And you're like, you got 8-bit, you got 16-bit. Mm-hmm. What can you do to message this little character to be Link, the coolest guy in the world, and you connect with him? And I did, you know, to going back to Zelda. And you have 16 bits. Now you have 8 bajillion polys. How do you connect with that character? And all of a sudden, I don't know if I do anymore. And that dawns the age of first-person shooters. We're not even going to look at the main character anymore.
Yeah. So it takes... It reminds me a lot of the theory of, I don't even know what the theory is called, but basically, the less features that you give a character or somebody, the more likely other people are to be able to relate with that person. Oh, I mean, that's why everybody, you look and you see the smiley face.
Good job.
Characterology.
Copyright Spencer B. Kimmel, 2013.
No, but you're right.
But yeah, like the smiley face, you know, everybody sees that. Everybody knows what that is. Everybody can relate with that because it's sexless. It's just two eyes and it's two circles and a line.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows what that is. And it kind of makes you happy.
Yeah.
Right? My son loves drawing smiley faces now. That's 3.5. And, you know, he draws these people who are the people that he sees. And they're very, very similar. You know, it's like a face that's their entire body.
Oh, yeah.
And then these long, crazy legs.
Well, and the limbs come out of the head.
Yeah.
The arms and the legs come out of the head.
Yeah.
Because that's who you are. You're all about your face. Your face is what makes you important, right?
Yeah.
Well, you look like superheroes, you know. Superheroes have very definitive colors, definitive style.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a superhero. Who's Captain America? Red, white, and blue. Star. And a shield. You know, the star.
We make fun of Superman wearing a Speedo.
Yeah.
But, dude... How would you recognize Superman any other way?
This is way off topic, but like the New 52.
The what?
DC's New 52, where they rebooted everything, he doesn't have the red red pant, underwear.
Oh, what?
No, Sad Bill.
He has a belt.
How does anybody know who he is?
I know! That's what I was like, well, that goes.
It's better than when you just wear a black suit, because I was like, what is going on? But or when he turned into red and blue energy.
Yeah.
He had a belt.
Oh, so if we want to talk about Superman
comics. No, we don't.
We're done. We do want to talk about Superman comics.
Unless it segues into THQ, guys, Atari, or IGF, you're done.
Okay. So.
Challenge accepted.
Has anyone read Red Son?
No. I am not a Superman guy at all.
Neither am I.
Okay.
You need to read Red Sun. Everyone needs to read Red Sun.
Is this the one where he dies?
It's amazing.
Spoiler alert.
I don't think he dies. No, it's a retelling of the Superman story.
Oh, yes.
Instead of falling in Kansas, he falls in Russia.
Yes.
Okay, you were talking about this. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Just like
THQ's communistic fall of a regime.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
No.
That was not endorsed by this podcast.
It's awesome, just like...
There goes our communist...
Global Game Jam.
Communist fellowship.
Oh, you're trying to tell me a Global Game Jam is a communist...
No, I'm trying to tell you that it's awesome. So the comic was awesome. Global Game Jam is also awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's a terrible segue.
Have you never heard of a sequitur?
Yeah. That's not a sequitur.
What are you talking about?
That's a red herring.
That's like I built a bridge out of sticks and it broke as I was walking across.
No.
That's building a bridge out of dreams, man.
Yes.
Dreams of,
and then I,
of
that's what I do.
Children. I desperately tried
that's
to drive a car over.
Yeah.
Okay.
The frozen tears of unicorns.
Speaking of Global Game Jam, not Superman.
Yeah, everybody should go this weekend.
Super cool. Awesome. It's obviously a global game jam.
When is it exactly?
Yeah. It's the 25th, 26th, and 27th.
Okay.
It's about 72 hours. Really, I think locally it's usually around
48.
No, you know what? It is 72 because, no,
it
I think it's 48.
It ends on Sunday.
It starts on Friday evening, ends on Sunday evening.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically what it is, you get together, you kind of, you get this topic that nobody knows beforehand, to make a game about. And then you've got about 48 hours to make a game. So everybody gets this topic. You start brainstorming with people, and come up with these ideas for games. And then everybody takes a few minutes, 60 seconds maybe, and pitches their game idea. Really simple. I mean, you've only got 48 hours to complete it. So it's gotta be something
super simple,
small.
Super fast.
But it's got to somehow incorporate the idea of the game jam. So last year's was the Ouroboros, the snake eating its own tail.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And,
I never knew that's what it was called.
Norse mythology?
It's in a lot of mythologies. Okay. I honestly don't know.
Midgard serpent. That's what it is called.
Oh, yeah. So it's just a symbol for eternity or, and there's a lot that goes into it. Oh, man.
Oh, snap.
Robert Jordan?
Nope. Keep going, Clip. Global Game Jam.
Oh, you want to talk Brandon Sanderson?
No, Global Game Jam.
Oh,
stop.
All right. Anyway, so you get this thing. And literally last year, it was just a picture of a snake eating its own tail.
And that's all the people were given.
That was your game had to somehow incorporate, but that was the theme of your game. So there were all sorts of crazy ideas. Like, I had one for a top-down space shooter that never ends.
Mm-hmm.
I had another one where you were trying to race the head as it was like chomping behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, Bit Trip Runner or something, where you could actually die without just falling down. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there were some really cool things. Anyway, so this year, you're going to get together, pitch your idea, and then, you know, you can come with a team of people that you want to work with. Or if you just show up, you just say, you know what? These are my skills. I'm really interested in working with you guys on your game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say yes or no, you know, and you keep, you know, moving around and finding people who are interested in the same things as you until everyone has a team and everyone's part of a team making a game. And you can do board games. You can do video games. They've actually got a costume, like a makeup and costume competition or section this year.
Because
it's not a competition.
Right.
It's a collaboration.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's, so wait, it's an wait, amazing
where
experience.
Where does the makeup stuff fall into any category?
So it's just a creative endeavor. Okay. You know, you've got this, whatever idea, whatever theme is given, you go and make some costumes or do something cool in this 48 hours to incorporate that theme.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what we're doing this year?
Costumes.
Balloon animals. Go.
Sure, bring them.
Dude, that would be the best game ever.
That would actually be.
Balloon Animal Connect.
Okay, so.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Heavens. Do not talk to me about Kinect.
Okay.
Right
anyway,
now.
But no. Okay. So
we'll talk to you about Kinect games in a minute.
We'll
quick
about
review.
Games.
It's anyway. On. It's this weekend.
Yep.
5 o'clock.
So
5 o'clock.
Go to the website globalgamejam.org, I believe.
Just Google
or,
Global Game Jam.
Yeah.
You'll
yeah.
Find it.
Google Global Game Jam. You'll find it. It's everywhere. So wherever you are locally, you'll be able to find something.
Sure.
And Utah, you know what? If you're not local, if you're in the middle of nowhere, you know, if you're in Wyoming, you can. There's an online component. You know, you can find a team online, work with them, and just do something awesome. It's a really great opportunity, and I would encourage anyone to do it. There's great keynote speakers. You know, it's. Just a blast to get together and do something awesome.
It's we're doing it at the BEAU, which is
the Broadview Entertainment and Arts University, I believe.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's Broadview University. If you're here local in Salt Lake, it's down, it's in Sugar House. It's, I think, 2400 South.
Google it.
Anyway,
yeah.
If you get off of I-80 at State Street, it's just to the east of KFC.
Yeah.
Okay.
/ A&W.
And it's cool. Like, one of the local studios, Ninja Bee, is sponsoring food for the event. So meals most likely will be provided whichever game jam you're at, depending on how awesome your game jam organizers are.
I would make sure to bring food and water just in case. Anyway.
Whatever. I'm totally relying on them bringing cots this year.
What's so great though about
actually bring your own cot.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, go ahead, karate.
Game Jam's great. It's not necessarily about making an awesome game, which is it's still great to do. Like if you're able to make a great game, fine. That should be your goal. But the point is to get involved with the gaming community around you.
Yeah.
To meet these people, to show like I have skills, and also to really narrow your focus. A lot of new game developers, and this is something we went through, especially in our program. Where brand new people will come in and be like, I got this great idea for a story. And not necessarily for a game.
But they called it a game.
But they call it a game. And
yeah.
They're like, this is my story, and it's super involved, and it's got like 15 characters, and it's got arcs and all these things. It's like, that's awesome. Where's the game?
Yeah.
You know, this forces you to go, okay, I've got 2 days.
Yep.
We've got 5 people, and like our guy's gonna be like, you know, a pixel.
We don't actually have an artist. We have one programmer.
One programmer, and everyone else doesn't know what they're doing. Ready, go. What do we do?
Well, and what's even cooler?
You do
with
something
that is,
awesome. That's what you do.
And you solve problems, and you learn how what makes a game. What makes a game fun, what makes it interesting, what makes it, you know, how do I attract people?
And you learn what kind of aptitude you have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, oh, you know what, maybe I'm not such a great game artist, but I'm really good at facilitating, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be a producer.
Or maybe you learn you're a good artist. You're like, I've never done this before. Oh, I could just do this and this and this. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Oh, you knew. Okay, all right.
that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anyway, all right, so you should go.
Definitely super cool. Super awesome. Good. Well, and it goes back to that limiting yourself. You're only given 48 hours with the team. What are you going to do? Shut up. I'm not playing Candy Crush right
now.
I'm playing Candy Crush right now. It's the best. This is what I've been addicted to.
Oh,
all right,
my
fine.
Gosh.
I'll put the phone away.
Okay.
I was pulling up deets about the jam, and you guys.
No, I totally believe you. I totally believe you.
There's a couple things I want to go over, though.
Okay, go.
You guys heard about the SimCity EULA agreement?
No.
Okay, so SimCity just went into beta this past week.
Oh, no, I think I heard this.
Okay, so the EA put out an EULA, which I have no idea what that is.
End user license agreement.
Thank you. I just knew it was a EULA.
Okay. Pinch poke, yo me
now
a coke.
Now Spencer can't.
What? Pinch poke, yo me a coke?
Oh, that's weird.
Giving you a coat.
You never heard that one? Yeah, whatever.
No, I wasn't part of that.
But anyway. You weren't supposed to talk until I said your name.
You said Spencer like 2 seconds afterwards.
Oh!
I was totally fine.
I know, you're out. It's work. Okay, so EA put out a EULA that specified that beta testers, if they found a bug and didn't play it, or didn't report it, then they could have the potential to be banned from all EA titles in the future.
Wow.
Okay.
Sign me.
Couldn't they do,
I know, right?
Couldn't they sue them? I thought there was something about they could sue them.
That's maybe the only part I remember.
Dear EA, I found a bug in your EULA.
I know. Well, that's
report.
Well, that's the thing. And so, like, a couple days later, EA comes back and so, we're sorry for the confusion. Okay. Now, the interesting part about that, we're sorry for the confusion, we're revising this statement. Okay. No one's ever been banned before for EA game, but you know that, like, people read these things. They didn't, like, I don't read them. Like, say, fair point. Sorry about that. I'll scan through them, but I don't read them. I just like, okay.
There's a great South Park episode about that. It's called the human eye centipede. Keep going.
That sounds so nasty.
Yeah, no, it's a rip off that movie about the human centipede.
So how about them Jazz? Am I right?
I
with their
pads.
Goal,
that's what it is.
Their goal points and their
and they're not disgusting.
Baskets.
But what I'm saying is that, like, okay,
point scoring.
EA has become a whipping boy for a lot of these kind of things for their online. I mean, they started the whole online pass
because they do a bunch of stuff like this.
But they do. They do a number of things, and it's interesting because people keep catching them. We live in a time right now where people they like to read these things. They go through them and they go, "Hey, do you know this is in here?" Then they put it on Facebook, and suddenly it's all over the place. And suddenly this one little thing that one person said is everywhere.
Yeah.
And you saw the same thing recently.
Just today.
Oh, that
was really interesting. That's how you do a segue.
That was a segue. Fantastic.
So,
had nothing to do with communism.
So I'm going
to
segue away from that just for a moment.
No,
but I'll bring it back.
No, I gave that to him.
No. Just wait.
That was
just
handed
wait.
On a silver platter.
So it reminds me of this story that I heard.
Dump on my silver platter.
It reminds me of this story that I heard. I was actually listening to Ricky Gervais.
I love that guy.
I love that guy as well.
Anyway, go ahead.
I love Carl Pilkington and Stephen Merchant as well. Hmm. They're all on the podcast together. Anyway, so Ricky was, or somebody was telling this story about their headmaster at school, had a tube of toothpaste, had one of the students come up and said, "Squeeze out all this toothpaste." So they did. They squeeze out all the toothpaste, right? And then the headmaster said, "All right, now put it back in." And the whole point of the story was, it's easier to do something than to undo it.
Yeah.
Right? So EA, it was very easy for them to just put out this EULA.
Yep.
It's very, very, it's going to be very, very hard for them to
undo that. Once the genie goes out of the bottle, it's hard to put it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just can't do it.
Exactly.
Unless it's Jafar.
Anyway, so
segue back into
the way that I no, I'm going to segue. It'll be a good one.
Okay, we're waiting.
So,
we're waiting.
I was
listening to the Ricky Gervais podcast.
Yes.
We were also doing a podcast.
Oh gosh,
you are so fired from segues. That's not even close.
All right.
Spoiler alert: you can't do a segue.
Karate wins. Segue king. Oh.
Yes.
All right.
I'm going
to
get a crown.
So let's go back to what your segue was.
Something really small that can blow up really
okay.
big.
Okay, so IGF just announced.
What is IGF?
IGF, Independent Game Festival. Biggest game festival.
Biggest independent.
Independent game festival.
Well, that's probably anything. Probably biggest game festival.
It's probably the biggest game festival in general because, I mean, you have the Metacritics or you have the...
Yeah, Gamescom.
You have, like, game journalism that'll talk about AAA games, but anything... That's not.
I mean,
this is a big.
It's like a competition, though.
It's totally competition.
It's like the Oscars of.
It's like
independent.
It's like the global.
Yeah.
It's like global game jam with indie guys, but you have a lot more than 2 days.
Yeah.
About a year.
So, anyways, you submit your games whether you're an independent game developer or a student because they have both of those sections, and they do they honor. I was really proud of them for the Nouveau. I don't know how you say it. Nouveau. Nouveau.
It just means new.
The nouveau.
It's en français.
Yeah, it's français. But it, what's interesting is one of my favorite games in that category is Dysphoria.
That's what he said. En français.
Dude, Dysphoria is so important.
Yeah, no, français. I'm sorry.
Dysphoria is French, too. Maybe not.
No, it's not.
It's not. No, but the nouveau category is like, these are amazing games, but we have no idea what other category to put them into, really what this category is. And I love that they did it, because Dysphoria is amazing. It's this game that goes through the story of gender modification. Yeah, this woman feels like I think it's a woman that feels like a man.
No, it's a man feels like a woman.
That's right.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, man thinks that, you know, internally feels like a woman, and so he goes through gender modification to become a woman. And you explore through extremely low poly pixelated, like Atari, not even 8-bit, but this is like Atari graphics. But in a matter of about 10 to 15 minutes, you almost want to cry because you just feel with this person so well. And it's a really great, you know, emotional experience that you have going through this experience that they went through. So really cool. Like, I love what the IGF's doing. So then there's the student competition. We submitted ours. I submitted mine that I'm working on with my team. Karate submitted his.
We submitted them back in, I think it was October.
Yeah, October's the deadline. There was this, you know, kind of like we've been really kind of nervous and antsy for the last little bit.
Well, we hadn't heard anything back.
No.
In the months that have gone by. It's been 4 months.
Right.
We haven't heard a word that anyone, you know.
Anything happens.
Are you still judging?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Well, have you started judging?
We don't know.
So 2-3 weeks ago, they announced all the traditional categories, and then they're like, the student category, because there's only one student category, will be announced shortly. So it got announced 2 days ago, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday. And there was an event that happened, last year, that someone had a game that the way that they distributed the game to the judges, you could see how often they played the game, how long the game was running for, there was a lot of analytics running in the back end. The judges were fully aware of this if they knew the system, which it's a very common system for mobile games. And these people found out that their game, they had 5 judges assigned to them. There was only 2 individuals that opened the game. One of them opened it for a matter of a minute. The other one opened it for maybe 10 minutes. Hmm. And they got judged. Right? Hmm. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, whether they didn't or didn't make it, that was very broken. And they kind of broke the scandal, if you will. And it was, they alerted everyone to this, like, dude, this is not fair. This isn't cool. Mm-hmm. Whether my game was the best or deserved to be in that top rankings or not.
You deserve to be judged.
You deserve to be judged. Right. There's an expectation that you have. So I had heard about that a couple months ago, and I was always kind of sticking in the back of my head. And so I said, I want to put analytics in our game anyways, because we all need that experience as an educational experience to know what analytics is like, because it's the new hotness, right?
It's a big deal.
So I said, we got to put this in. So we put it in, submitted the game with analytics, knowing that whoever opens the game, we can find out how many levels they played, how long they played, all that jazz. So come to the nominations that we get yesterday, I just double check, and I'm like, sure enough, not one time has this been opened outside of the computers that I recognize as the ones that we used for development.
Mm.
Our game, according to the analytics, and I say that specifically, is according to the analytics, our game was not opened by any judges or by anyone else. And the only distribution that we've had is to the IGF. So, really disappointing. I mean, super disappointing. So,
yeah.
I got on Twitter, I tweeted, and within an hour, Terry Kavanaugh, who did VVVVVV, and Super Hexagon, which is the big hit, he's retweeting me, and I'm like, whoa, crap. What did I do? You know? And as much as whatever the IGF did or didn't do in overlooking, it may turn out to blow. I blew something up. All of a sudden, I'm like, wait, do I want to be this person that looks like the whistleblower, right? And I was talking to my professor, and he's like, you're not the whistleblower. I'm like, yeah, but if I get blackballed because I'm the whiner, you know, and he's like, no, you got to do it right. And so he, you know, him and I talked about it, and he's like, you're the one that is revealing the conspiracy. Everyone loves that guy, right?
Right.
It's not the whistleblower. And so I've tried very hard not to be a whiner, not to be butthurt, that, oh, we didn't get accepted. Because the student games, go play every single one of them because they're absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Game design, hands down, they should have won over my game. However, it goes back to that. I should have at least been considered or judged. I mean, that's really weak sauce. And who's to say there were 600 student games? Who's to say one of those others may have actually been better than the five, you know?
One of those others that didn't get opened.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. And who's to say how many actually did or didn't get opened? And so I posted it, and gosh, we got like 600 views on our, because I blogged about it and tweeted that. We got 600 views in a day, and I was like, whoa, that's a lot more than, that's like 600 times more
than I expected.
And then all of a sudden people start commenting like, well, technically, maybe their internet was turned off. So like, okay, maybe. Well, what about their firewall? I was like, okay, listen. I understand my argument's not bulletproof. It may have been my fault. It may have been my game was crappy, and the analytics didn't reveal that they actually did use it. However, 2 years running, this has happened. And I'm inclined to suggest that the system has a flaw somewhere. I don't care if I win or not. Right. What I would really hope, and this is the whole reason we were talking about this in the studio today, and someone's like, what's your point? What do you want to do out of this? Do you want to be reconsidered? I was like, no, I don't care about that. Well, then why would we even mention this? And the point was, is the system working the way it should to allow everyone to have a fair chance? In the past, DigiPen has been a huge sponsor for the student section of the IGF. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's really weird that like three of the nominees every year was a DigiPen game. Mm-hmm. You know, and
yeah, how strange.
How strange, right? And could be purely coincidence. I don't know. But no one ever really...
But it puts a black mark on the entire system.
Yeah, it totally does. You know? It's like, well, this is just a boys' club. No one's ever going to get into this except for the few.
Well, yeah.
What's important to realize is that IGF is big. They
are.
GDC, mm-hmm. next year, you're going to see all the IGF games.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. They're all going to be shown off, and just like they're all in the middle of judging. It's a big deal. The Game Developers Conference is like the conference... Well, it's a conference for game developers, but it's the big one, you know?
Well, and anyone that's a winner, it's a golden ticket.
Yes. Here's a job.
Here's some money. But even anyone that's a nominee, especially for students, being a nominee, it's like, look at us.
Okay.
You're guaranteed a job.
Not only that, but there's a lot of considerations. I mean, let's go with DigiPen for a second. DigiPen, they sponsor the thing. DigiPen, they have winning, things for the team or for the pro. They have winners for their program.
Right.
Therefore, get to say, our games are IGF winners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a lot of politics to consider in that whole situation.
Yeah.
Because of that, if the judges are not impartial and not looking, even if they're ignoring games, like, oh, not from this. Oh, okay, this is this one.
I mean, this is
the good pie.
Or I read the description, I'm like, that sounds dumb.
Yeah.
Well, how, I mean, and then it asks the question, how are these even being judged in the first place? Because I don't even know.
Because it's all the same. If all the student games are in the exact same category, then you have to be impartially judging all of them in different ways. And it's like, okay, that's why you have five judges who go, there's five different people with five different tastes, all looking at different, different games. Fine. If all five say, this isn't very good. Awesome. That's fine. That would be perfectly reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But at the same time, that means five people looked at it.
Right.
Yeah. Which is very different.
And at least gave it enough time to figure out if it was good or not.
Well, and
whether that's a minute or whether that's 10 minutes or whether that's 2 hours.
Yeah. And so then someone's like, well, just because your analytics didn't show up and you're crying wolf that games weren't being looked at.
Well, that's not your point. That's not your responsibility anyway. All you're saying is that this didn't go off. I don't know if this is a problem,
want to address this and make sure.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, or make sure people are looking at this. Yeah, well, and definitely people are like, oh, well, you're just being a baby because you didn't win. It's like, I don't want to win. However, if I see a system's broken, I'd like to discuss it. I'd like to provoke dialogue so that the community can think about it. And, and to IGF's credit, like I, this is not a let's lambast or harpoon IGF. To the credit of Brandon, who Boyer, I think is his last name. He's like, he tweeted me within an hour. He emailed me within an hour. He's like, we're looking into this. And I'm like, good.
Oh, awesome.
I hope something good happens out of this. Like, awesome. I hope somewhere someone takes consideration of this, you know, and I'm not saying they're going to fix it. I'm not saying there's a problem. I don't know. But they're looking into it. And I can't really ask for anything.
And that's a responsible. Yeah. That's responsible. That's
yeah.
A responsible response.
Yeah. And it was really interesting, though. A lot of the comments on the blog started going, well, have you considered that it's your fault? And it's like, well, I'm not blaming them. You know, I'm not asking for fault to be assigned. I'm just making sure that the system works. And mm-hmm. So it's like, it doesn't matter if it's my fault or not. So
your car broke down. It's all your fault.
Yeah, it's all your fault.
Because the gasket blew up.
Yeah.
Oh, have you considered that it's your fault that the car blew up?
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but it's still broken.
My spinach had E. coli on it. That's my fault.
Have you considered that you were the one who ate it?
I went to the store, I bought the spinach, I prepared it, I ate it. My fault.
I know.
Yeah. You should have steamed it, by the way, just so you know. Should have eaten it raw.
Bam.
Anyways, no, so, I mean, like, it's, and, you know, and it's definitely, like, I feel like I'm walking this very thin line of being butthurt versus trying to fix a system or trying to provoke dialogue, you know, and I could see very quickly that people wanted me to be on one side or the other, you know, and...
Or we're putting you on...
Or yeah, I'm getting put on one side or the other, you know, and for some reason... I don't know. Like it's been very interesting. It's been kind of a roller coaster all day. I've just like been playing the Twitter game, you know, unlike Trent over here. But like, I just feel like I've been doing nothing else other than just kind of fielding Twitter and just seeing what things are going on, because it's not like, yay, people notice me now. Yay. You know, I don't care, but, it's exciting to be part of a conversation. It's exciting to discuss things with the community. You know,
no, I think that's cool.
So,
absolutely.
Anyways, awesome. That's what happened today.
That's
let's segue that into what do you want to talk about, Tran?
I actually need to go.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
Okay. Well, that's a good way to end anyway. So
that's
fine.
Yeah, that's good.
This is a fine podcast this evening.
Speaking of
gentlemen,
speaking of Twitter.
Twitter.
How people if they want to get a hold of us, they want to follow us and stuff, where can they find us?
We've got at GameDevConfess.
Bam.
On the Twitters.
On the Twitter.
Where would they find us if they wanted to just email us?
Let's just
On their email.
on their email.
Or is it D email? I forget the gender in of German
their,
of email.
Their email.
You know what? I don't think it matters. I'm gonna cry. That was awesome.
On their email, it's gamedevconfess@gmail.com.
Woohoo!
Facebook, which we never check, but someone fanned it?
Woohoo!
There's two fans? How dare you? How dare you, Mom? Stop fanning the page.
How did you actually fan it twice?
Yes.
Please let us know.
Well, my mom and his mom.
Yeah. gamedevconfess, facebook.com/gamedevconfess.
There you go.
So, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more stuff that will be stuff. I don't know
yeah,
what it'll
we'll,
be.
We'll, you know what? We'll figure it out.
We will.
That's the way to do it. Mm. All right. Thanks, guys.
Have good night.
Start the music.
Oh, not that one?
All right.
Oh, the post-production music. Got it.
All right.